hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what it is you're doing at 11 o'clock. Whatever it is that you do, though, I'm happy that you're doing that you decided to do that do with me. All right? So I hear Jeffrey Lloyd. I hear he's apologizing. I hear him saying that people took it out of context, what it is that he said. I will say this, though. I look up to Jeffrey Lloyd as a mentor and a man with great... This is a Levin word, methoelasticity. He is a man that is not easily boxed into a corner. He's a great orator. He's actually someone that I have patented a lot of my speaking ability behind. Jeffrey Lloyd is someone whom I have great reverence and respect for. And I believe that someone with his ability knows better than to use sentences or statements that aren't parallel. If you were, in fact, being asked in particular about a vaccine, then that is the question that you should have been answering. Unless, of course, you intended to create a gray area, and that, as a consequence, would create ambiguity, and that ambiguity would then leave you in a position to test the tide, then I don't understand how did a man like him, with the ability that he has, made the mistake that he did or that he claims to have made. That is a bit unusual to me, all right? Now, what I also know is that sometimes news stories are patched together. I can only account for what it is that was reported, though. And so I'm going to say that because I don't know what the entire interview sounded like, what was reported sounds to me as though the minister is saying, because he said in one breath, and I'm about to play it for you, he said in one breath that he wished to God the Bahamian people would go and have their children, their students, their people over 12 vaccinated, which again creates in my mind a quagmire because the Pfizer vaccine is not a single dose vaccine and school is opening in about 11 days or thereabout. I don't foresee people being able to be fully vaccinated before school is open. That would automatically mean that the date of the opening of school would at least need to be pushed back for an additional 2 to 3 weeks to permit there to be full vaccination. But it still doesn't deal with the quandary that people like myself find themselves in. And that is, my child does not fall in the grouping of students that are 12 and above. So the people that are like me are still met with a quagmire. And then, to create additional confusion, the minister, for whatever the reason, in his wisdom, the man is a great orator. A masterful orator. And an educator. I therefore cannot accept that he made a stumble in that way, not with the English language. If you had told me that Jeffrey Lloyd had given you the wrong thesis for some general science equation, absolutely, I would say maybe the man just didn't understand the formula. The formulae of the entire situation seemed to be something that was perplexed in his ability. He was overwhelmed, and as a consequence, he came to the wrong conclusion. You are not going to get me to say that about Jeffrey Lloyd, not about the English language. I'm not buying it. And that is just where I stand on it. I believe it was a sounding rod. I believe the minister wanted a sounding rod. That's what I believe. I have no empirical data to support that statement, but I do understand the way politics works, right? And public policy largely is influenced by public perception and public reaction. And so you test it, you throw a stone in the water, and you see the ripples. And when you realize that, wait a minute, that there looked like a tidal wave, you say, I didn't throw the stone in the water to create a tidal wave. You all misunderstood me. So I'm happy that he's offering clarification. I'm just saying I don't know how a man like Jeffrey Lloyd makes that kind of mistake. It is above my ability to comprehend. All right? That's like telling me Derek Richardson put the firing assembly of an SLR in backwards. It just cannot happen. The man could do it in his sleep upside down with a blindfold on and no hands. It just will not happen. You follow where I'm going with this? Certain people are just above certain mistakes. And I don't know if I'm willing to buy from the minister that is a mistake. But again, those are all my suppositions. I absolutely have no empirical data to support that he meant otherwise. He has suggested that he does mean otherwise. I'm going to let you hear what I heard, though, because what I heard sounded to me like if your children ain't got the vaccine, they can't come to school. And that would be troubling for me because the prime minister has said that there is no mandatory vaccination policy, right? And I'll tell you what else is funny. Blue Lagoon Island, while I at this, I'm noticing now that people are actually putting very particular, specific language into the way they do their employment exercises now. And that there was something circulating in social media with their name attached to it, right? Looking for people to work on their key. And they're saying, and so the language says, if you are vaccinated, please feel free to apply for these jobs. Well, on what merit or on whose authority do you have to suggest such a thing? I mean, and I get it, you're a private company, but if you are operating under the Business License Act of the Bahamas, and the government of the Bahamas has made no such mandate on its people, then by whose authority are private companies acting if they are holding business licenses to do business the way the Bahamas government regulates it? Then how are they auditioning for openings at their establishment and inviting the vaccinated to apply? It just doesn't make sense to me. Now, I'm not a lawyer. Maybe someone with a law degree could give me some legal guidance in this area. But these things just all look suspect to me. All right? I don't like the tone. That's just Levin Miller. All right? And so, I'll let you hear the interview from the minister, Jeffrey Lloyd, that was carried on our news, right? And then you can tell me what you think. And I have a guest that will join me shortly afterwards. So let's play the clip from Minister Lloyd.
Operating in the hybrid environment or fully face-to-face, the education minister says he recommends that all parents with students between the ages of 12 and 17 register those students to take the Pfizer vaccine that is now in country.
And I hope to God strongly, strongly, strongly encourage parents to permit their students, their children, to take these vaccines. Absolutely, positively. Do please remember that no child can enter the public school system without vaccination.
131 new COVID-19.
See, and so you see the way the language is. Do please remember that no child can enter the public school without vaccination. Well, was that an issue before? Was that the question that was asked? I think the thing in the English language, if I'm not mistaken, if I am, please forgive me, it's called parallel statements. All right? Where the subject and the verb of the statement must agree all the way through. And that they should agree with whatever the question was. I'm going to be joined by an educator. Maybe she can help me with it. But I'll tell you what, right? So we've been going back and forward now with this whole what is going to be the policy on how we get our children back to school. And I want to tell you that the Department of Education, the Ministry of Education, Consequently, the Minister of Education have offered me nothing, right? I've got two children that need to be in school that are not 12, and I do not know what the policy is. One of them, school tells me one thing. The others, school tells me an entirely different thing. I don't know where I am. And it's confusing. And I've already stated, Joycelyn grandson ain't spending no money on no school, nothing, until I know what the policy is. Because it just doesn't make sense, and I don't have that kind of money. And I don't, and I imagine that I make more money than some people, so I imagine that there are people like me that have less money. But this entire how will we get back into school thing, again, just like last week, sounds like one more day on Sesame Street. And so I've dug up some communication that may help you understand what the ministry, minister, and Department of Education has sounded like to me every single time I've asked, queried, questioned, wondered what would the policy of school openings be. This is exactly how I feel.
Boom doo doo doom, boom doom boom. Liza, going down to the well, fetch us some water.
Well, that's nice, dear Henry. Okay.
Hoo! Wait a minute. Look at this. There's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, there's this hole in the bucket, dear Liza, a hole.
So fix it, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry. So fix it, dear Henry, fix it.
Okay, but, with what shall I fix it, dear Liza, with what shall I fix it, dear Liza, with what,
With a stick, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry. With a stick, dear Henry, a stick.
Okay, oh, sure. Let's see here. Over here. Yeah, let's see. Here we go now. Oh, look at this. Look at this, dear Liza. See that? The stick is too big, dear Liza, dear Liza. This stick is too big, dear Liza, too big.
Well, any fool would have known that. So cut it, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry. So cut it, dear Henry, cut it.
Well, but, Liza, with what shall I cut it, dear Liza, with what shall I cut it, dear Liza, with what?
Do you believe it? With a hatchet, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry. With a hatchet, dear Henry, a hatchet.
Oh, yeah. Sure, I could have told you that. Oh, let's see. Now we'll go. Well, the hatchet's too dull, dear Liza. Dear Liza, this hatchet's too dull. Dear Liza, too dull.
So sharpen it, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry. So sharpen it, dear Henry, sharpen it.
Whoa, we're about to,
Say it, say it, say it.
Whoa, with what shall I sharpen it, dear Liza, with what shall I sharpen it, dear Liza, with what?
With a stone, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry. Sure. With a stone, dear Henry, a stone.
All right. Okay, here we go. Nope. Hey, listen. This stone is too dry, dear Liza, dear Liza. This stone is too dry, dear Liza, too dry.
I can't take it. I can't take it. Ooh. So wet it, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry. Ooh. So wet it, dear Henry, wet it.
Well, yeah, but with what shall I wet it, dear Liza, with what shall I wet it, dear Liza, with what,
Well, what did Henry, what was Henry, what?
Oh, well, with what shall I carry the water, dear Liza, with what shall I carry the water, with what, what?
In the bucket, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry, in the bucket, dear Henry, the bucket.
Yeah, but there's a, Liza, there's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, dear Liza. There's this hole in the bucket, dear Liza, a hole.
I should have married up with Luke.
Where are you going, Liza?
And so that's how I feel. Every single time I have to listen to the Minister of National... of what is he? The Minister of Education? The Department of Education? See, I can't even remember their name no more. There's a hole in the bucket. There's a hole in the bucket. Don't go anywhere. We're going to the break. It's Levin Miller's... Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news. Allenton, let's go to the break. Your station for fresh news. In these dangerous times, you need protection that you can depend on. International Security Alliance will keep your business and assets secure. Our team of skilled and professional officers provide an efficient and effective means to mitigate threats to our clients. Our services include executive chauffeuring, corporate office security, asset management, marina security, and canine security. Get the protection that you can trust. Call International Security Alliance at 601-0766 or at 601-0767. That's International Security Alliance. Enforcement through reinforcement.
Hello, I'm Jermaine Kemp, a patient care assistant at Sutherland Rehabilitation Center. I am one of many standing proudly on the front line of healthcare during the global COVID-19 pandemic, and I am vaccinated. I made the decision to get the AstraZeneca vaccine after attending information session to learn more about it. I felt it was important to ensure that I did not spread the COVID-19 to my family, friends, and most importantly, my patients. My patients depend on me for their care, and I consider it a privilege to serve. I invite you to join me in keeping our clients, colleagues, and community safe by choosing to be vaccinated. We can do this, Bahamas. Together, we can beat COVID-19 one vaccination at a time.
This message has been brought to you by the Public Hospitals Authority and the Sandilands Rehabilitation Center.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for staying with me. It's Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm Unleashed on your radio. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. And since I'm completely confused and I have absolutely no idea what is happening over there at the Ministry of Education, I've called the person, the most competent person that I think I could speak to regarding this issue because I do not know what is happening. I'm joined on the hotline this morning by the president of the Teachers Union, Mistress Belinda Wilson. Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Good morning, Levin. I really feel like today I'm going to coin that I'm Liza and I'm paging Henry, the Minister of Education, because I feel exactly how Liza feels.
Yes, yes. And it is vexing, right? It's because parents want to be responsible. I want to be a responsible parent, right? I want to go and make the necessary school preparations for my child. However, I haven't been making a six-figure salary all throughout the pandemic. Consequently, I do not wish to spend money frivolously unless I am, in fact, sure that my child will be permitted to attend a face-to-face platform. Now, here is where I find myself in what would be considered a kerfuffle. You have given me a policy for children 12 to 17, I imagine, because that's when children leave school. I have a six-year-old. There is no policy for him. He is at the part of his life that the Ministry of Education and the Department of Education have said to me is one of the more important parts of his educational journey. And there is no clear plan. There is no, you say to me face-to-face will be heavily dependent upon vaccines in the Bahamas. You say that last week. You say this week, no unvaccinated children will be permitted into public schools. Then you come back tongue-in-cheek and say, well, you wasn't meaning the COVID-19 vaccine. You meant all of the other vaccines and immunizations, right? And I feel like this cloud of confusion becomes larger and larger every single time I hear from the Ministry of Education. Maybe you can offer me some clarification, Madam President.
I think the cloud of confusion is going to remain and is even going to get darker.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you fail to plan, mm-hmm. then you plan to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the minister may be an excellent orator, but sometimes you have to say to the press, no comment at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do not have anything of value to say to teachers, parents, and students who are waiting, holding their breath
mm-hmm.
a week before school is to resume for educators,
right.
Then it's best to say to the media, not at this time, I will come back with a written statement, or I am addressing the nation.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to always, when a microphone is pushed in front of you, that you need to speak, especially when you are uttering nonsense.
Mm-hmm. But Madam President, what about the fact that, I mean, we are only 1 week away from school opening. August 30th, if I'm not mistaken, is supposed to be the hard date, yes?
23rd for the teachers, which is Monday coming, and the 30th for the students.
Okay, so the Prime Minister a week and a half ago said to us that the Minister of Education would speak to the population in the weeks coming about what was the plan and the policy for education. So I imagine this is the window that the Prime Minister was talking about. The communication coming out from the Minister of Education since the Prime Minister's utterances have not been parallel to one another. Well, the first two were parallel, and then of course you see that there's a roundabout turn as of this morning where he suggests that he's not talking about that vaccine, he's talking about all of the previous ones. Well, I don't know that those previous vaccinations were of any difficulty to the ministry because children naturally went and got those immunizations. Outside of that though, Madam President, the Pfizer vaccination is a two-dose vaccination, which would still mean that in 1 week from now, the student population, whether it be all of them or from 12 and above, would still not be vaccinated as per the definition of fully vaccinated. Isn't that correct?
You are correct. And I actually reached out to a few medical doctors that I know, and the Pfizer is a two-dose jab.
Mm-hmm.
And it's once you've taken the first one, then it's 21 to 28 days
mm-hmm.
before you can take the second one.
Right.
So a vaccination was and is the deciding factor for the return to school. Then I would suggest, for the children, then I would suggest that the Pfizer vaccine would have been in country prior to now.
Right.
And that the vaccination process would have started prior to now.
Correct. Because this is something I don't know if you've thought about and your executive team has thought about, but I heard Dr. Dwayne Sands says that the science is changing every day. The difficulty with the way the COVID pandemic is playing out is that the science is so fluid. All right. And that would then mean that although Pfizer has done their testing. These are all still drugs that are only approved for emergency use. That means there is no exact telling what will happen when you give them to our children. Shouldn't then we want to have a period of monitoring before we go vaccinate, I don't know, 20,000 students, put them with teachers, only to find out that this vaccination has some sort of effect that then affects teachers? I mean, I don't know if you understand my point here, but I would rather have children that are vaccinated, they home with their mommy and their daddy for maybe two months, and by the time as school opens, we're sure that, okay, they've not had any adverse effects, they've not been any anaphylactic shocks in school and that kind of stuff. Because you're asking the teacher now to take on the responsibility of technically monitoring a child that is in a vaccination period.
I believe that the talk about the vaccination for the students right now is just that. Because, to my knowledge, the Ministry of Education or any other entity, to my knowledge, does not have a vaccination plan for children.
Okay.
They're saying that it will be available. But is there any data that's been provided? Has any surveys been conducted for you to gather the empirical data to determine how many parents will be allowing their children to be vaccinated? So I believe that we've put the cart before the horse because data is what drives policy.
Right.
And data is what helps you to plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because if now you're saying you have X amount of vaccines that's coming, so let's say you do have a large number of parents who are saying, we're going to vaccinate our children.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that you don't have sufficient vaccine for the number of parents that have expressed an interest.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to do your legwork, the groundwork, have the information and the data available so that will guide your plans. And then even in that instance, if you're saying, okay, the vaccinated will go to school and the others will stay home and work virtually, then you also need to have those numbers in order for you to decide how many classrooms you're using, which schools are going to be used, which teachers are going to teach the virtual versus the face-to-face. So it's just a lot of talk, and when you drill down, there's no substance.
But okay, so I forgive me if I sound utterly confused. I am utterly confused. Have we adjusted our capacity level for virtual? Because everything in my mind feels like that is exactly where we will end up. Has the Ministry of Education reached out to the Department of Teachers to figure out what do we do about the increase in bandwidth capacity in our neighboring communities to ensure that when we go back to virtual, we do not have the issue where I think it was you said 20% of the students never logged on or something to that effect.
33%
of the students never logged on to the virtual platform. Many of them have argued they simply had no access to the internet. Have we increased bandwidth in these communities to ensure that when we go back to virtual, everyone now lives in a hotspot? We've been spending money out of the wazoo. What have we done about our capacity expansion?
To my knowledge, capacity has not been increased. And those are the types of discussions and consultation that the union expects from education. Because what we expect is, if you were able, and remember, I used education numbers that there were between 30 and 33% of the students that never logged on. And I always contend that our numbers are higher based on the information and data that we got from our teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But what we expected now is that education would have been in the position to inform us weeks ago that, okay, union, you've complained that the virtual platform, the LMS, was not adequate for the 48,000 students and their parents and the 4,000 or 5,000 teachers and administrators.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just want to let you know that we did increase the bandwidth. We do have the platform that's now working, that's accessible
mm-hmm.
to all of the students, no matter where they are. Their parents are able to log on. They've been given passwords. We've uploaded a digital curriculum and the syllabus
mm-hmm.
onto the platform. Teachers are able to get online. Their students will be able to get online. The teachers will be able to mark. The teachers will be able to sign in. The teachers will be able to mark their registers. We've uploaded the timetable. We've amended the period. So we're not doing 40 period class subject days. We've cut it down to 30 periods. These are the things that we expect for education to be informing the union or sending a draft to us to say, hey, review this. These are some of the plans that we intend to implement.
What would you say, Madam President, if I asked about a possibility of a uniform waiver? I know that they gave a partial waiver last school semester, but that was because we were in far level greater uncertainty about the pandemic itself. We are now heading into a school year. There will be people who are like me that I refuse to buy a single trouser until I know what the policy is. Would it not be an intelligent discussion at this time, maybe for the Ministry of Education to consider that, okay, for the period of the COVID-19 pandemic, we are going to offer a school waiver, but we require our students, all of them, primary or otherwise, to have some sort of an identification card, name, I don't know, blood type, school, grade, teacher's name, or whatever, however they decided. And that is how we will identify our students, particularly for this period, because we understand the economic spinoff, because we understand the uncertainty in our policy making. Know that the government of the Bahamas has taken as a position that we are waiving the requirement for school uniforms for the next 2 years. Are those conversations that you all are having? Because I think we've considered the educational consequences, we've considered the policy consequences, but there is an economic consequence to be considered here as well. And those affect the parents. Where are we? Where is the Union of Teachers? Where are you all in your discussion with the Ministry and the Department of Education in those regards?
There's no conversation or discussion. Let's get that out there quickly.
Okay.
There's no conversation or discussion. It's the union, the BUT, writing to the permanent secretary, the acting permanent secretary, to the prime minister, to whomever. Listen, hello. Henry, school is opening.
Mm-hmm. And there's still a hole in the bucket.
Yeah, the bucket has a hole in it. So how do we fix it? So it's the union
mm-hmm.
nudging the employer, the Ministry of Education, to say, hey, time is of the essence. What are we going to do about the opening? And you speak about uniforms. Uniforms actually is not in the Education Act, and it's not a policy. It's really a practice.
Mm.
But forward-thinking leaders would say to themselves, parents have not worked
mm-hmm.
for 18 months. Hey, let's look at no uniforms. Let's waive that. And let's say, like you said, the students would have their IDs. But again, they can't say the students will have their IDs when the IDs are supposed to be provided by the ministry and the Department of Education, and
right.
they probably don't have them available for the students.
We seem to be in a quagmire, Madam President.
We
there
are.
There must be, I as somebody that has spent a bit of time out to sea, the one thing I learned is the worst part of the storm is the part that you're sitting in, right? There has to be. If we continue sailing, there has to be calm water somewhere. How do we get out of the storm?
This is the only way I see us getting out of this. And I'm gonna put the challenge out to the Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamas Union of Teachers and others have been complaining for a while, even prior to this administration, about the systematic problems that are inherent in the ministry and the Department of Education. Mm-hmm. The only way it's going to be addressed is outside of political eyes, where the right individuals who have the proper and adequate qualification, mm-hmm. attitude, an open mindset to engage stakeholders, to engage teachers, to engage the community, to engage the unions, and to look at the recommendations that we have been giving for years. Good, sound recommendations. Stop thinking about who you like or dislike. No one really cares. Mm-hmm. You're not my friend. We are here to do a job.
Sure.
You are being paid to do a job. The Prime Minister has to look at the ministry and the Department of Education, because education, that's your foundation mm-hmm. for building and developing your nation. And we must find the right individuals that fit in with the right skill set mm-hmm. to take us out of the problem that we're in education, and we just can't seem to get it right.
Now, you sound like we are at a sum-zero game with regards to technological expansion in our capacity. Basically, we've bottomed out. There's been no capacity added, according to your knowledge. I do know, though, that there was talk about expansion of actual physical space capacity. There was talk about partnerships with local community assemblies. There were talks about creating things like the Member of Parliament for Bain and Grantstown had done, which was a satellite campus that focused on reducing the number of children that are around one another in a controlled space where all of the COVID protocols could be observed, etc. Have we built that plan out?
You did say there was talk. Actually, in our meeting last year, mm-hmm. August the 24th, 2020, mm-hmm. we had a meeting with the minister and his entire team, mm-hmm. and they said that they have satellite stations and that the various schools would be split up to use different premises. And then I asked the question, okay, they gave us a list in that meeting mm-hmm. of churches and centers and various places. And then I asked, well, have you spoken to you know, the owner, and what are their thoughts on how they can assist us? And they never spoke mm-hmm. to anyone.
Of the church owners?
They had a whole list mm-hmm. of churches and other buildings
okay.
that they claimed would be used. That's last year now.
Yes.
That's 1 year ago, mm-hmm. August the 24th, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And then I questioned them. They had no discussion with the owners of those facilities. So to me, they came to a meeting to flam the union.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, yes, we have this together. And then when they were probed, then, oh, no, we just listed them as possible venues, but we haven't. So I said, did y'all enter into a contract with these various facilities and venues? No. And so 1 year later, I've not seen any of the facilities being used mm-hmm. that they would have listed.
Hmm. What about then, Madam President? I know that the teachers union has in place, you know, agreements for the way you all are to be employed, agreements for time off, agreements for agreed pay, etc. Has the Union of Teachers offered as a position, listen, we understand that COVID is largely a space issue. Our schools are designed in a certain way to be able to hold a certain amount of students. However, if we somehow rotated who comes to school when, we would be able to keep our school capacity at 50% at all times. It would be the same 50% of students coming to school together at all times. Now, what that would mean is that teachers would have no lunch break, or teachers would have to have an extended day by maybe 2 hours if you were to include their lunch break, to ensure that one set of students could come for a full 3 hours in the morning, another set could come for a full 3 hours in the afternoon, and that in itself would increase space on the actual already existing physical campus. Has the Union of Teachers, as its president, began having that conversation with teachers who we have known over the years have given so much of themselves, right? But have they, and many of them suggest that they are prepared to give more in the name of being a good teacher. Has the union approached its members, though, in regards to something possibly like that that could work?
When you talk about give more, I don't know if the teachers have any more left. Mm-hmm. And I think in order for us to show that we don't have any more left and that we are sick and tired, we probably have to take a page out of the nurses and the medical professionals' book. Mm-hmm. Because we are sick.
Mm-hmm.
We are sick. But I must say that we provided for the Ministry and the Department of Education, May 11, 2020, a 152-page document, The Spotlight on Education, giving all kinds of recommendations. One of the recommendations being to review a shift system. You have some teachers who would say, hey, it's okay, I could come 12, I can come 12 to 5. Some like to get up early. No, man, I'm going to do the 8 or the 9 in the morning to 2.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that discussion with our members. We know that there are members who are willing to work different times. That's not the point. The point is we have the information.
Mm-hmm.
However, if education has not, if they have not made the provision for the physical space, they've not made the provision to have the discussion with the parents as to when the shift happens,
mm-hmm.
what happens to the children in the morning, who gets out probably at 1 or 2, mm-hmm. who keeps them until 5, or those who are at home in the morning, what happens to them when they arrive for an 11 or 12 school day.
Mm-hmm.
Education has not provided for us a plan to say, hey, this is a draft. This is what we're looking at. We're looking at this school day. And I don't know if you recall, we've had so many back and forth with education because I keep asking, what is the plan? Give us the plan so that we're able to discuss it with our members and get back to you as to what is feasible,
mm-hmm.
and what it is that we can work with you.
Madam President, I'll tell you something that I've recently found. I don't know if you are aware that this is happening. The government of the Bahamas has a preschool program, right, where they use public funds to send children to private preschools. Some of those private preschools, like NCA, are open for face-to-face. They're using public finances, right? Others of them will be open in a short time. They, too, are using public finances. Those schools are suggesting that, no, we intend to be open for face-to-face. Those students are all considered government students because the government is sending them to those schools on scholarships. Yet, you go from being a child 1 year ago that was in the preschool program, to 1 year later, now you're 5. And now the policy is, well, we don't have a policy because you're not 12, so we can't vaccinate you. There is a gap of people. So we're talking about, because 12-year-olds are eighth graders, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So we are talking about everybody from grade preschool to grade 7 who there is absolutely no policy for. What are the parents of those students there to do?
I don't know what the parents are supposed to do. But I can say, I wish the parents would rally up because these are their children.
Yes, but Madam President, many people, see, people need policy. That's what moves them. It's the reason they stop at the red light. It's the reason they drive on the left. They don't do these things because that's how they feel. They do it because that is what the policy suggests. There was a time we drove two ways down Bay Street. We no longer do that. Why? Because the policy suggests something different. We now make left turns automatically, and although we do it egregiously, we do it now because the policy has directed us in that way. We cannot say that we need the parents now to write? Because the parents are all sitting here waiting on policy.
Okay, the parents are waiting on policy, but the parents, every school has a parent teachers association.
Sure.
Which has a president that is walking about with a title. The job of the Parent Teachers Association is to engage education and the various schools to put forward the concerns and the recommendations of the parents. So the parents need to find the PTA president of their child's school and let the and say to the, to the president, these are our concerns, and we wanted you to lend your voice to the lone voice that's out there crying, Belinda Wilson's voice.
I hear that. I just don't know if that is... I hear that, Madam President. I just don't know that to be the way that it works. Most of these parents are people that... Well, not most of them, but many parents are people that do not understand the way associations work and unions work. And they are parents. They are nothing else. They didn't go to school to be parents. That just happened to them. True cosmosis, actually. And that is them being as involved and as vested as they can. They ensure that their children get all of the books that the people say. They make sure that the children get all. So they are being good parents. You are now saying that they've got to do a little bit more.
They have to do more. Unprecedented times. You got to do some unprecedented things. Mm. And so the parents, and I note in social media, there are a lot of parents who are, I mean, they're outraged and they're expressing themselves. Mm-hmm. But they have to bind together. And I can tell you right now, if you see the teachers have to head out to Rawson Square, mm-hmm. parents, I call in on your children to mm-hmm. come to Rawson Square to support us. Mm-hmm. Because we are there fighting for your children's education. And we have to stop this political pandering. Oh, it's my party in, so I can hide behind the sycamore tree. No. Mm-hmm. It does not matter who the government is. There are some things that are basic and fundamental, and education is one of them.
Hmm. Madam President, we are out of time. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Man, we are out of time already.
We are.
Solidarity to all of my teachers from Grand Bahama to Inagua.
I look forward to hearing from you in the future.
Thank you very much.
Okay, madam. So I've been on the phone with Ms. Belinda Wilson. I got to take this last break of the morning. I'm taking this last break. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back on the next side of the break. In these dangerous times, you need protection that you can depend on. International Security Alliance will keep your business and assets secure. Our team of skilled and professional officers provide an efficient and effective means to mitigate threats to our clients. Our services include executive chauffeuring, corporate office security, asset management, marina security, and canine security. Get the protection that you can trust. Call International Security Alliance at 601-0766 or at 601-0767. That's International Security Alliance. Enforcement through reinforcement.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Let me get to a couple of these text messages for you. It says, Levin, he should have said immunized, not vaccinated. Immunizations are mandatory, not vaccinations. What a great prelude, Levin. Jeff qualifications are similar Jeff's qualifications are similar to that of a decorated army soldier, a great educator and teacher. And don't forget, the Minister of Education is here spewing ambiguity unheard of. This was intentional, but the kickback was that of a thoroughbred, hence the attempt to justify it. I don't believe Jeff tripped over his feet that way. I'm just not prepared to believe that about him. The man is a juggernaut in the English language. What kind of foolishness is this on Guardian Radio? I don't know what it was you heard. I've got time for one call. 30 seconds, caller. You're on. What's up?
Good day. How you doing, Levan?
I'm well. I was hoping you would be Jeffrey Lloyd. What's up?
Listen, there was a question I was hoping you would ask, Ms. Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this. What percentage of teachers in the public school system are fully vaccinated?
Hmm. Well, hopefully she's still listening. She can text the line and give me an answer. I'll read it if she gives me. She has 4 minutes.
Thank you very much.
So, Madam President, if you're still listening, they want to know what percentage of your union members are vaccinated. This one here says, awesome, Brother Miller. Are you feeling like Henry or Liza? I think I feel like Henry because Liza don't get it. Liza, a hole in the bucket. All this other stuff, all this wonderful good advice you got, a hole in the bucket, Liza. And you seem to kind of, I can't cut the stick because I ain't got no axe because I can't sharpen it because it's stone dry. And I can't bring water because there's a hole in the bucket. And that's kind of how I feel about the Minister of Education and his policy. Also, the president of the teachers union says that she doesn't have data on how many of her members are in fact vaccinated. And that is another thing. And I actually had forgotten to ask her that because I don't want the vaccinated teacher in the school with my unvaccinated 6-year-old, which again is something we need policy direction on. Because, you know, they say when you get the vaccination, like you see the Governor General now, C.A. Smith, the most honorable, His Excellency, and he has it, and he's asymptomatic after being fully vaccinated. He probably has COVID 2.0, which is the one I'm scared of. That is the one that I'm concerned about. I ain't concerned about the unvaccinated COVID. I care about the, I had the vaccination and catch COVID and spread it COVID. That one's scaring me. This one says, journalists have a responsibility to report the news accurately and not to cause confusion. If you listen to that clip, that she sounded like she reported that quite well to me. I think Jeff Lloyd erred in the way that he made the statement, and I don't believe that had anything to do with the reporter or the way it was reported. Hi, that is how unions carry on. Okay, the question was meaningless because vaccinated can still spread and still house the virus in the, what is this, the mucosa? Okay, no problem. Anyway, so long and short of the story, we ain't sure what happened around here. The government ain't talking to the union. The union, them getting ready to go march on Bay Street. I giving you all the brief. The union getting ready to go march on Bay Street. The president say, when she go march, you better come because these yeds are in anyhow. And so she want you, the parent, and her, the teacher, to march against them, the ministry, and the minister because it's about solidarity for our children. So here's some things that I hope to see. Hopefully you all waive this silly uniform policy. I don't even know why we make children wear uniform anyhow. That don't make them smarter. The second thing is, I think y'all could upload all of the textbooks to y'all platforms so the children ain't got to buy no book. We could just read it off the screen because it's on the screen anyhow. The next thing y'all could do is call BTC and Alive and tell them, make every single one of these constituencies a hotspot. Everybody need to be able to get online. All right? And then get the children them back the tablet and things like that because they need them to start practicing on how to get into the thing, and they mommy need to learn how to get into the LMS and all kind of things need to happen. This 1 week, let's just abandon this whole going back to school thing for right now. And we can work on it next year. That's what I would do. Anyway, that's my time. You hear the music. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. Again, a special thanks to Madam President Belinda Wilson. Don't go anywhere, though. We've got the news for you, and that's now.
Spirit is revisiting us. True and living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the...